Well, good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all. A few announcements as we begin our service this day. Next Sunday will be graduation Sunday. Big tear in the eye, right? Or not. What is it, Samuel? Which one? Both? Yeah. Well, we'll have a special recognition of our graduates. And certainly wish them well. That'll be next Sunday during our worship service. The Now Committee is going to be meeting in Brown Chapel just immediately following the worship service today. And they certainly invite you for lemonade on the lawn. Hopefully it won't be raining then. Or in the basement. The rain location will be in the fellowship hall if we should happen to have the rain. We need the rain. It's good. But hopefully it'll be very nice and spring-like for us. And we invite you to join us all summer on the second Sunday of each month for lemonade on the lawn. Also, the red rose on the piano today is in honor of the birth of the talent's new grandson, Benjamin Patrick, who was born last week. So we certainly rejoice with you all. And I'm sure you have pictures, right? Also, there are a few other meetings that are taking place this week or events. This Thursday, please note it's going to be at 7 o'clock at Marco's that we're going to have our Theology on Tap. There's no scheduled guest speaker for us this time, it being summer and everything. We're trying to keep a low key. We won't meet next month, but we are going to be meeting this week. Thursday at 7 o'clock at Marco's. If you're a young adult interested in talking church stuff, come out and join us. Bring a friend as well. And let's see. Are there any other announcements I might be missing? Well, one announcement that I'll highlight is our church-wide cleanup day has been rescheduled due to the fact that both people who showed up felt like they were insufficient for the task. We'll reschedule that at a later date whenever everybody can get together. I think it's because we had so much fun cleaning the kitchen, and I'd announced this for a couple weeks beforehand, and how it was cleaning the kitchen is one of those things you got to do. But I think I should have done it in such a way this time for the church-wide cleanup that it was going to be a grueling, arduous task. Maybe we could get William to beat the drum, to keep pace for everyone. Because when we have fun and we market it as something being fun, nobody shows up. So who knows, anyway. But that will be rescheduled. If there are no other announcements, I invite you to stand as we join together in our opening hymn. It's number 2002. And that's going to be in the little black book, The Faith We Sing, in our hymn book, in our hymnals. Hymn number 2002. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Be the rock and let the God.
I invite you to remain standing as we switch hymn books, and I invite you to turn to the back of your hymnals to number 815 as we read responsively from the 96th Psalm, 815. Well, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare the Lord's glory among the nations, the Lord's marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before the Lord, sanctuary, our strength and beauty.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come unto the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before the Lord, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it.
Then shall all the trees of the woods sing for joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Glory be to
Please be seated, and I invite our children to come down for our children's time. Hello, little girl. How are you all? That good, huh? Yeah? Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to do something that's dangerous. No, not matches. Against my better judgment, against my better judgment, Lila, would you come up here for a minute with me? All right. Do you trust me, Lila? Do you trust me?
No, I don't trust you.
You don't trust me? You're my own daughter. You trust me? Okay, Lila, come here a minute. Okay, so stand right there, all right? Okay, now turn around. Look at Grandma and Mommy and everybody, okay? Here, all the way around, there we go. Okay, stand. All right, now, fall backwards and I'll catch you. Okay, just fall backwards. Come on, just fall backwards. Okay, hold on. One at a time. All right. Okay, do your arms out. Okay. Now fall backwards and I'll catch you. I promise. Okay. Whew. Rick, you better not get up here. Okay. Do your arms up. Fall backwards. I'll get you. I promise. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. One more. Arms up. Whoa. Okay. Enough fun. We've had enough fun in church this morning. Okay. Come on. Now, Lila, when you fell backwards, did you trust me that I would catch you, or did you think I would let you fall to the ground? Notice I didn't get Wheeler to do that, because I don't think she trusts me. Would you trust me to do that, Wheeler? Well, you know what? There is someone that we can always trust, and that's God. Look at that. Y'all are anticipating and even giving the answer. Imagine that. Anticipate, it means you knew before I even asked. You already knew what I was going to ask. That's what I just said. Yes, yes. Okay, well, I want you to know that regardless of how scared you might ever be, regardless of what happens in your life, whether right now or when you're older, regardless of any of that, you know that you can always trust God, and that even when you're falling, that He'll catch you. Not literally, you know, but God is there for us all the time. And so I want you to remember that, okay? Well, let's have a quick prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for always being there for us, for catching us whenever we feel like we're falling, and for being our rock, our Redeemer, and our Lord. Gracious God, help us that as we trust in you, that we might trust in your word, and that we might offer ourselves in service to others. So we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I need you all to collect the bread tin offering, okay? So I need some folks on this side. Y'all can go on that side. And if you'll go on this side. Okay. Well, no, wrong side. Okay, Lila, this side. Okay. Thank you all. Our bread tin offering for the month of June goes to a children's hospital in Haiti. And there's some information about that in your bulletins as well. So I invite you to give as generously as possible for this important mission. And once our children have finished circulating the bread tin, they're invited to go to Children's Church or to remain here in the service with their families. Thank you, Harper. Thank you, Lila. Thank you. Y'all be good, okay? Before our scriptures read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed at the bottom of the first page of our bulletin. Let us pray together. God of truth, who invites us to friendship with you, help us to listen to your holy word, keep your law of love, and walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Our scripture lesson this day is taken from the seventh chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. After Jesus had finished all his sayings, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death.
when he heard about Jesus. He sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and to heal his slave. When they had come to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it's he who built our synagogue for us. And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
There's a story that the Lutheran Bishop of North Carolina likes to tell. And it's a story about, he was sitting in the diocesan office one day and the archivist came in and said, you won't believe what I just found in the archives. It was a very yellowed sheet of paper, handwritten from, over 100 years ago or so. And he said, I found these minutes of the council of one of our churches outside of Salisbury, a rural church. And it was dating a long time back. And the story that it told was one that is just, I think, just a wonderful story. Guess what happened? It sounds like a joke. A tavern opened across the street from this church, okay? Tavern, opening up right across the street from the church. It was starting to bother everyone, the noise, the things that were going on there, right across the street from the church, you know. And some of the members of the church council, they went to the pastor, and they said, Pastor, we need you to pray that this tavern will burn to the ground. Okay. Apparently they had confronted the tavern owner. They said, we need you to pray that this tavern across the street from our church will burn to the ground because the owner refuses to be sensitive to the fact that it's across the street from this church. He refuses to move. He refuses to do much of anything. And so they passed a resolution at that council meeting that the pastor of that Lutheran church was to publicly pray in church the next Sunday for that tavern to burn to the ground. He did so. The following Tuesday, lightning struck the tavern and it burned to the ground. Okay? Well, this all seems like an interesting story, doesn't it? But here's what happened. The tavern owner was angered by this because he felt like it was the prayers of the church and of the pastor of that church that caused his establishment to burn to the ground. So he goes to a judge and he says to the judge, this church, this Lutheran church, is liable for my damages. They prayed that God would burn my tavern down. It was struck by lightning, burned to the ground. They're responsible. The judge calls some church members in and the pastor. And they're all talking together. And he says, now look, I need to get this straight. Did you, Pastor, did you pray that this tavern would burn to the ground on Sunday? And he says, well, yeah, I did. And then he says to the chairperson of the church council, he says, did you all pass a resolution telling the preacher to pray for this to happen? And they said, well, yeah, but it's not our fault. You know, we're not liable for those damage. That just happened with lightning. It's just coincidence. You know, how in the world does he think that we're responsible for that? It was just a prayer, you know? And so the judge, in giving his ruling, said that the church was not liable financially for that loss, though he did think it was very odd that he said in all the years that he had been on the bench, he had never come across a situation like this where the tavern owner believed in the power of prayer, but the church didn't. I like it. The power of prayer and tavern owners. In our story this morning from Luke's Gospel, we're told of another unlikely source of faith, an unlikely source of those who trust in the power of prayer. This time it's in the person of a Gentile, a Roman, a centurion even. And we're told that Jesus says that this guy, that not even in all of Israel has he seen such faith as he saw in this centurion. A centurion was an officer in the Roman army over, can you guess how many people? 100, right? That's elementary Latin for you, isn't it? So this was a powerful guy. He was over about 100 other troops. He was an officer in the Roman army. He was, if we are to look at the story, a wealthy guy. Why do I say that? Well, if you look back, he built the synagogue that the Jews worshipped in there in the little fishing village of Capernaum. He built their synagogue. And also, the elders of the synagogue go to Jesus and say, this man is worthy for you to come and heal his slave. So we also know that he, you know, seems at least to be a very sympathetic person, a very caring person, even though he's a slave owner. You know, we've got to put it in context. But he cares deeply about this slave of his. And so, you know, we get a good picture of this guy. But I want you to do something with me for just a moment. Close your eyes. Now, if you promise you won't go to sleep, okay? All right? I don't hear snoring yet, so okay, I'll take that as a yes. Close your eyes for a moment, and let's think about the context of this story for us today for a minute. Rome, picture yourself in that little fishing village in Capernaum as a Jew living there, okay? And so with your eyes closed, you can see the Sea of Galilee lapping up on the shore there. And you can imagine yourself as a Jewish fisherman up there, or fisher person, not to be exclusive in all this. And then imagine that there is a foreign occupying force in your town, little Middle Eastern village with a foreign occupying force. That shouldn't be too hard for us to imagine, should it? And now this occupying force, it taxes you, so you have to pay them taxes. You have to follow their rules and their laws, even though they're from far away. And there are a bunch of soldiers there enforcing all of these things. You see them in the marketplace. You see them by the seashore. These foreign soldiers all over the place. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Still away? Everybody? Okay, there we go. Sorry, it is cloudy and rainy. It's good nap weather, isn't it? And it is the day of rest, so if you do happen to fall asleep, you have that as an excuse to back up on. You know, it is the day of rest. But here in this story, we have this guy who is an officer in that army of the occupying force of Rome, who has not only attended the synagogue there, but actually built it. Now there was a little rule that kept him from joining, which required a significant amount of pain in his nether regions. So you could understand, or at least I could, why he wouldn't have joined the synagogue totally. But he built the synagogue. He was highly respected by the elders of the people. He obviously tried to follow after the Jewish law and all of that, and he cared for the people under him. And so we have this guy here who is it's a great image that we have passed down to us from Luke. I imagine that Luke, himself a Roman and Gentile in origin, I imagine that he took no small amount of pride in writing down this story where Jesus lifts up a Roman Gentile as an example of the faith. The great Oxford professor, his name G.B. Caird, reminds us that Jesus, quote, was constantly inviting his listeners to learn lessons about God from the analogy of their daily life. And the centurion did this for himself without having to be prompted. Kind of like the kids did in the children's sermon today. You know, they anticipated. They saw. It's easy, though, because every answer in a children's sermon is always God or Jesus or something, right? But nonetheless, this Roman centurion, he anticipated this lesson from daily life that that Jesus was holding up there for us. So what are we supposed to do with this story? I mean, we who are gathered here in Asheville some 2,000 years after this event took place, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to make of this passage? I mean, what do we have here? Do we have here one of those stories where we're being bashed over the head for not being faithful enough, for not having enough faith? Why don't you people have more faith? If you did, then we could do anything. You know, is it one of those sorts of stories? I don't know. Is this story told to us with the understanding that if we only believed enough, if we only had enough faith, that we'd be able to do whatever? I don't know about that either. Or do we have here one of those stories where we're meant to hear the story and go and do likewise, like with the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? I don't know that it clearly falls in any of those categories. I think we're being given this example of faithfulness and prayerfulness for a reason, but I don't know that any of those are the main reasons for it. I take as my basis for understanding this story and its meaning for us exactly what Jesus said in the very end of this. Not even in Israel have I found such great faith as in this centurion. The main thing that I take from this lesson is that God's kingdom and God's power and God's healing are not the copyright of the community of faith. You know, oftentimes some of the most faithful folks aren't even in the pew next to us. Oftentimes we need to forget that church, it's not everything, is it? I mean, there are so many people out there who are faithful and just who aren't sitting here. And, you know, there might be a reason for that. But we have to remember that God's power and God's love and God's authority and God's miracles even happen outside of these walls. And that's something that's really hard for us to take. It was hard for the people of Capernaum to take. Later on in the Bible, whenever Jesus is talking about the miracles that happened in Capernaum, he says, you know, if the miracles that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, you know, then the whole town would have repented. It didn't endear Jesus too much to the crowd there. But it's something for us to remember, is that sometimes faithfulness, sometimes trust, sometimes prayer, it happens outside of these walls. And we need to be the agents of that action too, in many cases. I think that we have to take all of this stuff into context, but I absolutely love that story of the church people and the tavern owner that the Lutheran bishop was fond of telling. I love that story, perhaps because it's kind of got all those elements of an urban legend. I really like those. Those are really catchy, and you remember them really well, don't you? But maybe it's because my own father owns a tavern or two. My dad owned restaurants and bars growing up, and so maybe it's because my dad's a tavern owner, and I'm a little sensitive to that. I don't know. But he, though he very seldom goes to church, he is officially a member of a Methodist church. But I remember back when Jennifer and I lived in Baden, Cora had just been born, and my mom and dad came down to visit us. And we went out to eat at the country club there in Baden, which is not nearly as posh as that sounded. trust me. It was the only place in town that was open that had food. And so so we go to the country club there in Baden for supper. And my father, he goes up to the bar to enjoy one of those tasteless and very clear malt beverages. Anyway, he goes up to the bar, gets a beer, and he's sitting there to watch the end of the golf match that was on. And this young couple, man and woman, come and sit at the bar next to him, waiting on some tables to open up. And they start talking. And come to find out they're newly engaged. They're kind of new to town, and they were looking for somewhere to get married. And Dad said, "So have you found a place to get married? Do you have a date set?" All this stuff. This is my father who told me that when I told him I was going to marry Jennifer or ask her to marry me, he said that if he had to be married, then I should have to be also. I can say that because my mother's sitting here today. But anyway, so Dad asked this young couple, he says, "So have you found a place to get married yet?" And they said, "Well, no, we don't have a place yet." He says, well, are you members of a church? Do you have a preacher or something that's going to do the service?" And they said, "Well, no, we haven't really found a place yet. We don't go to church all that much, to be honest. And, we don't feel all that welcome when we do go to most of them. And we just haven't found one yet." He says, "Oh, well, my son's a Methodist minister here in town. Do y'all live close to here?" And they say, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "Well, I'm sure he'd be happy to talk with you and go with you on this." And so, long story short, they became involved in the church there in Baden. And I like to tell this story, particularly to the folks there, because my father, who, you know, is a tavern owner, who doesn't really go to church much. Have you heard of those CEOs in church, the Christmas and Easter only CEOs? He's one of those CEOs, I suppose. He did more evangelism than most of the people in the church, this tavern owner. I like to think that in that story of the tavern that was built across the street from the church that burned, I like to think that tavern owner probably did more evangelism than most of the folks in the church in response to that sort of thing. I love the story about faith. It's a story about faith. It's a story about healing. It's a story about hope. And it's a story about the authority of Jesus over any situation that we find ourselves in. But I want us to also see that it's a story about how God's kingdom and God's love can't be fenced in by any artificial boundaries that we might try to put around it. Imagine our world, and imagine our church, and imagine Asheville, North Asheville even, if we all just had the faith of the tavern owner. May the fire of God's Spirit burn brightly in all our lives and in the work of our church. Amen. And as we enter upon a time of prayer, I draw your attention to all of those names on our prayer list. It's printed on the back of our bulletins. And remember especially those names there. Are there others you would lift up this day? Well, if not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that you are to us, for the fire of your Spirit, first given to the church at Pentecost, but also extended to us. Lord, we offer you our thanks and praise. Forgive us our weaknesses. Forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, both those deeds that we have done and those deeds that we have failed to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As you healed the centurion's slave, O Lord, visit your healing hand upon all of those this day, near and dear to our hearts, who are in need of your healing hand. We remember those who are in nursing facilities, those who are in the hospital, those who've recently had surgery, those who face chronic illness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you also, O Lord, our world, torn apart with violence, with suffering, and even with natural disasters. For all those, O Lord, who grieve the loss of life, of property, of life as they knew it, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we lift up to you this day, O Lord, in silence, those deepest concerns of our hearts and those things too deep for words. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, Father of all gifts, bearer of all life, we offer these our gifts to you. Take them and take us and use them both that your kingdom might come a little closer to this place. We offer it in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you, please be seated. And in your hymn book, I invite you to join with me on page 20 as we begin the Great Thanksgiving for our communion liturgy. Page 20, it's musical setting C. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You healed the sick, brought recovery of sight to the blind, and announced the time that your kingdom would come upon this place. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Christ took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat from this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite our servers to come forward to receive the elements. Then the choir will be invited next, and the ushers will assist you when to come forward. Come, let us keep the feast of Christ our Lord. The bread which we break is a sharing in Christ's body. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his blood. Broken for you, Anne. Body of Christ, Deborah. Broken for you. Anne, the body of Christ. Broken for you. Body of Christ. Broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, Cora. Blood of Christ shed for you, Anne. Christ's blood shed for you. Christ's blood shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. There will also be a healing station that David and Katie will have over here if you feel so led to have a prayer for healing. Come, let us keep the feast. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others with the touch of your healing hand upon our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, for this sacred and holy mystery, we give you our thanks. Though we fail to understand your love for us even when we disobey, Lord, we give you thanks for your blessing upon our lives and for your healing hand. Touch us once more, O Lord, that as we leave this place, we might leave in the strength of your Spirit, offering ourselves in your service. Amen. Go in peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we leave this place, may you go with us. As we offer ourselves, O Lord, may we offer you indeed to all the world. Amen. Go in peace. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, be thou our vision, that as we leave this place, we might go with you and your kingdom in our line of sight. Guide our feet, guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide our tongues, that as we speak your word, others might come to know you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Go in peace. And I invite you to rise for our last hymn. It's number 367 in our regular hymn books. Number 367, He Touched Me. Go now in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.